welcome back to another episode of your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire world. It's Grey's Academy, and you've your two favorite hosts in the entire world, if anything ever, from a TV show to a game show to the local pawn shop that you go to sell things that you really shouldn't be selling. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast, and we've done it! We've gotten to the wedding.
We sure fucking have.
We've done it. We check off. Got past another spoily without being spoiled.
It's crazy, okay? I need you all to know that Kelsey has mastered the art of shielding me from knowing when a big fucking drop is going to happen on this episode. And she says, you know, we really need some more content for Instagram. Mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to get anything for season 10 yet. I just think like,
blurby,
you know,
blooby,
just
blah.
Maybe if we could grab one little recording of a reaction, I think we could throw it on Instagram and really pop off. And I think I'm right. So when that goes up, I am going to be counting on you guys to make that happen. Me?
Yeah, and unfortunately, this could not have been the worst 24 hours of my life to have pre-planned watching this. Let me paint a quick picture. We're also going to have a little bit of an extended intro here because we usually try to do some cold open stuff for our Patreoners, but there's some things that need to be said that the whole world gets to hear. So first is let me talk about my travel. Okay. So just last night alone, coming home from Orlando, there were storms, tornado storms, which your dear sweet, sweet husband informed us of. We had no idea these were happening until his weather alert app got the notification, then texted us about the tornadoes. So we take off also Southwest, who, sidebar, dead to me, never flying Southwest again. But it's not because of them doing anything wrong on like a specific situation. They changed their entire corporate model of how they handle flights.
Yeah.
So what differentiated them was the general boarding. I love the general boarding. There's no longer general boarding. There's no reason to fly Southwest.
There's
Anyways,
also no free bags.
Check bags. Yes, exactly. It's dumb. So they cancel our flight and automatically schedule us onto a flight that's like 4 hours later, which when traveling with children sucks. When traveling with two separate parties sucks more because they put us on separate flights at first. Jessica changed that. Fine. We get to the airport. We get in the air. We're flying. And they have to, like, fly around a couple times. And then they say, plot twist, we got to divert to St. Louis to get more fuel before we land because of the storms. So we land in St. Louis. We're on the ground for about an hour and a half. I find a couple Pokemon players because while I'm on this flight, for anyone out there who's playing Leaf Green or Fire Red on the Nintendo Switch or Nintendo Switch 2, I downloaded that. I was shiny hunting for about an hour and 15 minutes, just restarting the game at the exact same point. No shinies, but I did get the perfect nature and gender for Charmander. So I got the modest female Charmander. So I took it and I said, I'm going to take the W and I'm going to move on. Anyways, so. We get back in the air, we land. We don't get home till 3 a.m., all right? Now,
what time
we get
were
home,
you originally supposed to get home?
8 p.m.
Okay.
Yep. So that's what? Seven-hour difference, yes. 7 hour difference of getting home. Marlo luckily fell asleep around 11 o'clock. She slept through the plane landing and then fueling and then taking back off again and then landing again and then getting the bags and then getting home. She survived all of it.
I love that for her. Couldn't be.
Yeah, truly incredible. and then she slept until 11 a.m. this morning. And then Marlena and Bill and Isaac and Rain, they all went back to Carthage. Excuse me, podcast burp. And then my day got all ruined because by that point, Marlo should have been in school because we were I was going to have her do gymnastics, a makeup day of gymnastics in the morning. That got screwed up. And then we slept in past that, so she didn't go to school. So I was recording this reaction video today, but at one point the internet stopped working and there's a split. Naturally. I couldn't get it up and running before I had my chiropractor appointment. So in the video, you will all see that there's two clothings that I'm wearing. I'm wearing one shirt for half the video and then another shirt for half the video. Forgive me. the continuity on that is not great. But yeah, we made it. There's a whole other part of the story that I need to rage on another company, like actually rage on a company, but I will do that later.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, I could do it now if you really want me to.
Yeah, just do it now.
Okay. Who do you rent cars with usually? Who's your rental car company?
I don't rent cars very often. I would maybe say Enterprise.
Okay. Enterprise, totally good. Cool. Hertz, totally cool. Good. If anyone out there, and I need to say that this is my opinion. I'm not stating fact, so this is not slander. I will never be a customer of Budget or Avis ever again in my entire life.
Yeah.
I waited in line at the Budget counter for 2 hours. 2 hours. I'm under exaggerating. I'm a dramatic person and I think I can acknowledge that. 2 hours. I'm going to send you a picture right now of the line that I stood in and the line that formed after I had gotten to the front of the line. This thing stretched across the entirety of the rental terminal. I'm going
to
send this
to you. Is
this
in Orlando or is this
in Orlando? This is in Orlando. This is landing. So we land in Orlando. The flight to Orlando was totally fine. Okay. Then getting the rental, the car seat took like an hour to come off, which actually did set us back a little bit. But the rental car situation, I stood in that line for 2 hours. Didn't even get to ride a ride at the end. I sent them to you. Let me know if you see this here. It was insane. Okay. Truly insane.
Oh.
That's nutso.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a problem. How many people were working?
Three. There were three people at the checkout counter.
I mean, it looks like none of the other rental places have lines. Why is everyone only here?
No idea. I have no idea. Weird. So anyways, at one point in this line, one of the people were checking out. I think they call a supervisor of some sort. The supervisor come downstairs to the main area. They start yelling at each other in the line. And she's like, we don't have the staff for this. And he's like, I don't know what you want me to do. Yeah, and I'm like, I know what you want. I know what I want you to do. I just want a car. So I get a car after 2 hours. I go to the car. I go to the spot. I get my Bluetooth typed in. I get it punched in. I go to, is a Pacifica, so it has the dial. It doesn't have the switch. It's the little dial.
Yeah,
I go to put
crazy.
It in reverse. It is pretty crazy. I go to put it in reverse. Someone comes from behind, opens the trunk, and goes, oh, there's a person in here. Double booked the car.
Naturally.
So I need to go because I don't know what the numbers system is with Budget or Avis. It's terrible. It is ass.
Whatever it is, it's garbage.
But their number on their sheet of paper matched the number that was on a sticker on the car. Mine did not. Okay. But it's the same. It was the same spot.
Right.
E27. I will never forget this. E27.
On his deathbed, he will say, and fuck E27.
And fuck Budget and fuck E27 to the moon. Anyways, so I go back and I go to get in line and I go to the front of the line at the counter that's actually in the garage. And I'm like, hey guys, I just waited 2 hours downstairs and they gave me the wrong, like they double booked my car. Can I just go in front of the line here? I'm so sorry. And the next guy in line was like, yeah, they double booked my car too. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just get to the back of the line. So it was the worst. I hate it. And then on top of that, it was like no good customer service along the way. Yeah. Budget is my new nemesis.
Are you writing a strongly worded email?
I think I'm going to write a 1-star Google review and I'm going to go to every location that I can find and just post it.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to stop talking. If anyone asks, hey, who'd you rent a car with? I'll tell you who I'm not going to rent it with. And then I'll tell you who I'm going to rent it with. but I'm like, and then I call their customer service to explain the situation to them. And I'm like, hey guys, like I need some sort of compensation. And they said, well, for long waits, we can compensate you for 1-day refund. And I'm like, okay, it's not just the waiting. It's the error of getting a car. And then on top of that, I witnessed two employees fighting. Like, what? So, like, what? You're 1 day? Like, what would I do if someone came up and punched me while like an employee punched me. Is it just one day? And they're like, for that, you would need to call the local law enforcement. And I'm like, yeah, that's a rhetorical question. I'm like, God. You're fucking, this is a joke of a company. This is the worst. That's exactly wild. What he said. He said, if an employee punched you in the face, wrong. Sir, I'd recommend you. Yes, he's not wrong, but he's not fixing my salute, my problem.
I will say, you know, that motherfucker went home and was like, you'll never guess what I got to say to this jackass on the phone today.
Seriously, honestly, fine, whatever. I'm the jackass, but I was so annoyed. So I told him, I said, okay, I need you to know that for the rest of my life, I will never say a nice thing about budget. I will tell everyone that I know every single day forever how terrible this experience was. And he said, is there anything else I could do for you today, sir? And I said, no.
And he said, else, that budget. Would imply that you've done something to start with.
Yeah. So I have half a mind to call up Apple and say, I have no idea what this charge is. Give me your credit card number. I have no idea.
Well, you've said budget? It here first, couldn't be me. So now it's fraud.
I said I have half a mind, not the other half.
Yeah, you certainly don't have the whole mind.
Yeah. So anyways, that's well, my that's
why
my travel
don't you tell
story.
Me a
Disney
positive
and Universal
thing
were great.
That happened at the theme parks.
I got to ride Velocicoaster, and that shit fucking is gnarly. It is so
it's,
good.
I hate
so good.
That it's not an over-the-shoulder strap. I hate
oh,
it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it, that was
it,
wild.
I do not love being upside down with a lap bar. I need a shoulder yeah. strap. That's it. I just need it.
It so. Was nuts. So Marla got to meet the Cat in the Hat and the Lorax. And I do need to, I don't know if your sister listens to this podcast, but I do need
she
to publicly
not.
Give her an incredible shout out. Kelsey's sister helped make some incredible magic and gave us the opportunity to go to Universal.
Yes,
so.
She was happy to help.
I feel
mostly
like I'll
Jessica.
Need to give her. Yep. That makes sense.
Just kidding. No, she was fine. She
Jessica
was, she
and
likes
Marla.
To be able to help. Help people when she
Joe from Orlando. If you're listening to this podcast, you've got a really great A+ daughter-in-law.
It's true. He does. I agree.
And niece-in-law. Honestly, she's great too.
Is that a thing?
And niece's best friend / podcaster-in-law.
I don't know that it's niece-in-law. I think you've erred.
If he's your if. Would that make you also just another daughter-in-law?
I think it would just be the sister of your daughter-in-law. There's not a term, but we can workshop it, Joe. Because I love Joe. And
we'll
you know what? Joe and I,
things.
He emailed me last week and was like, what is wrong with Carmen? R.E.M. is great. And I said, I know. After that podcast, I went and listened to my favorite album. And I was like, what is wrong with Carmen? R.E.M. is great. I'm sad I never got to see them live.
Listen, they make some great sleep cycles. That's all I'm going to say.
You are the worst.
Do you have anything that you want to share? I just took up like 13 minutes of this podcast by myself.
That's fine. Bennett had his first soccer practice today. It was adorable because
yeah.
it's just a bunch of 3 and 4-year-olds running around and they're all small, but it's just so funny. And Scarlett has her first soccer practice tomorrow and Wyatt is getting over to RSV. So that's fun.
Is that like the sequel band to REM?
Oh, it is. Last Friday night, she like slept really poorly. And when I was in there with her, like tending to her over the night, I was like, I know that this is RSV. Like there's not a doubt in my mind. So I was like, okay, luckily our pediatrician who we love, their office has after hours, schedules for week and weekend. So Saturday morning I called like right at the time that they open. And I was like, hey, pretty sure my baby has RSV. I need to bring her in. So I did. They swabbed her nose and they were like, yeah, she hasn't. I was like, yes, I know. I just needed confirmation. And it's a good thing I went in because she also has a double ear infection. So,
no,
and Bennett
no,
also
no.
has a double ear infection. So,
no!
But the good thing with Bennett is he is adamant that his ears don't hurt. Like, we knew that he had one because school contacted us and they were like, hey, he has a fever. I was like, okay, well, if he says he feels fine, it's probably an ear infection because that's like the only red flag that we know that our kids get ear infections. They never say their ears hurt. He told me so many times when I was taking him, my ears don't hurt. The doctor goes, do your ears hurt? And he goes, no. She looks at his ears and go, well, I don't know why they don't hurt. Because she said one side was so swollen, she couldn't even see past it to see how much fluid there was. And I was like,
it's just a flesh wound.
I was like, so he's been asking us to repeat everything lately. Might this be related? And she goes, yeah, he can't hear anything right now. And I was like, cool.
Boy's got a case of that temporary deaf.
I literally at one point was yelling at him, and I like, not the way like you yell at someone when you're angry, but the way you like yell at an old person or you yell at your wife. And I said to Michael, I feel like I live with Jessica. And that might be a mean thing to say, but it was how I felt in that moment. It's and I didn't thing. Mean it it's mean. I was just like, because it's just weird to like speak so loudly to a person, because like so often yelling is associated with like anger or heightened emotion. And I'm like, I feel rude when I'm talking this loud to him, but he like cannot hear unless you
are that's crazy.
Like, yell. It's luckily, I mean, we have them both on their the antibiotics, but... anyways, so that's what's going on in my house. Oh, also, I bought a business, so I'm a business owner now.
Hey, again, you're a business owner again.
Right, I'm a twice business owner now. Yes. Well, I opened the first one. I bought another one.
How does that make you feel? How do you feel about
that? Crazy. It's been less than a month since I was presented this offer, and now I've done it. For those of you who do not know, I worked for a company as a wedding planner and coordinator, and my boss had to sell the company mainly for health reasons. And they reached out and asked me first because I was the first person that they hired when they opened their business 3 years ago. And it was crazy, and I was not expecting it at all. And I was like, well, let me just run this by my husband because I can't give you a yes right now. And he was super hype about it, and we spent a long period of time looking over contracts and financials and numbers and things that I am very thankful that Michael understands, because couldn't be me. I hate it so much. Every time he would be like, and look at this, I would be like, I don't want to. All those numbers, I don't like this. This is your thing. This is like your, like literally it's your job, but also right now it's your job because I can't. Looking at this makes me not want to do anything. Luckily he will be handling all the accounting and financials for it. But yeah, lots of trips to the bank, lots of conversations with lawyers, lots of conversations with corporate. It is a franchise. So I do, have been talking to corporate a lot. I get to go to Colorado this coming Saturday for spring break, then come back. And then 2 days later, go to Omaha for owner training. So, that might impact our schedule. Keep an eye out. We're going to do our best.
Yeah. Yeah. We will do our best. We will. I've got some ideas on what I think we could do.
Yeah. We've already talked through it to hopefully, make it a seamless release. There might be an episode that looks a little different from normal, but that's in our opinion, better than none episode.
So just keep
an eye out. We will, and we'll post also on Instagram, like whatever the update is going to be. So you can look out over there for that information. But yeah, that's mostly what's going on with me, I think. I don't think I have anything else interesting.
Have you found any new Pokemon cards out in the wild recently?
No, but every time I go to BJ's, I check they have a whole display and it's always empty. But yeah, I did, so I was over at my mom's because her neighborhood is going to have a yard sale in the next couple of months. And so I'm like taking a bunch of my stuff over there because I'm going to like sell it there with her because she has a really big flat yard. So it'll be easy to set up. So I was taking a bunch of stuff and putting it in her attic. And there's this just huge tub. And it's like all these notebooks on it that are cards. So I'm like, open one. And she was like, oh, those are all of Jeff's baseball cards. And it's like... there's like 10 of like these thick notebooks. And I was like, are they only baseball cards? Any Pokemon cards in there? Because he has 3 sons. So I thought maybe one of his kids. But she said that she's pretty sure they're all baseball, which is still a pretty impressive collection.
That's pretty impressive.
And I know, it means nothing. You probably would still think it's really cool.
I would still think it's cool. I have all of my old baseball cards, like from when I was a kid. I don't think they're worth anything at all.
Who knows?
But I don't know. I was going through them, just looking through a little bit, and remind me when we go to the next episode, I'll go grab it. I'll show you. But I found in my card collection a card of me as an 8-year-old. Like,
that's,
you know,
so,
like,
funny.
Yeah, like the park districts, they would do like these little stat sheets of the kids, and yeah, it's like your picture, it's like your baseball card. So I'll have to show you. But I found one of me in my card collection. I'm like,
I definitely had one
funny
of me like that for soccer for like the 1 or 2 seasons that I played soccer when I was like 5 or something. So yeah,
that gives me a lot of joy. Can I change gears for just a quick moment?
Yeah, and then we will have to talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. There was this viral video that I guess was resurfacing, and I shared it on my story about kids being bombed in the world, and mm-hmm, just mm-hmm, why? Just let's just stop the fighting.
Yeah, if we it's could just not, that would be
if the
it's
kids
just like,
can
I
stop.
I just don't feel like we're dying, asking that much.
No,
it's just there's a lot of people that really yell a lot about protecting kids, as we should, who then don't care when things happen to kids, which is conflicting information to me.
Yeah. Like, I am sure, and this is, I can't say I'm this for sure. Okay, I'm going to reel this back a little bit. I am pretty confident that there is a group of people out in the world that when Jessa and I are done with IVF, let's say we have leftover embryos, mm-hmm, and they need to be destroyed because they can't continue to live in a freezer forever or exist mm-hmm in a freezer. Live is a loose term. I think that we can all agree on that. There are people out there who would decry that destruction mm-hmm of those embryos, yet are silent on bombing of children in Israel, in
or
Gaza, in Iran,
supportive
in Syria, in Libya, in any of these places. Or support, you know, or the
supportive
of it, right?
Of it, or supportive of ripping children away from their parents, and supportive of dropping them in countries they've never lived in before with no existing family in there. Or supportive of keeping them in detention centers with no care whatsoever.
Yeah. The video that I'm talking about, if anyone has seen it, it's I think it was about Syria specifically, but it was it opened with this girl getting a birthday. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm a little bit emotional talking about this right now. And then I promise we'll talk about Grey's. But she was blowing out the birthday candles on her cake, and there was so much joy, and it was them going to their soccer games, and it was them like doing all this stuff, and it was sports, and it was a kid being a kid and full of life. And by the end of it, she had been transposed, ripped away from her family, and she was in some sort of detention center of some sort, lived through bombing, lived through rubble, and they had a birthday cake. It was like one singular candle, and it's in the middle of all of this rubble and destruction, and the kid doesn't even want to blow out the candle. The mom is like, make a wish, and the kid has no joy left. There's no spirit left. So I think the end was, just because it's not happening to you doesn't mean it's not happening. Something to that effect. So
if you're just like, protect kids, there shouldn't be a caveat.
Protect kids.
Just actually do it.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, we can talk about Grey's.
Yeah, I had to.
23 minutes later.
Yeah. That's all right. Imagine the episode is starting now. We're doing
maybe
this.
We'll put
and
a little disclaimer in the info.
Yeah,
in the info,
it's fine.
Box.
It's fine.
Hey, if you really hate to hear us talk, definitely skip this one.
But there's some really good content.
It.
There's some
it
good
is,
content.
But that's up to the people. We let the people choose. This is a free market podcast.
It's up to
let the people choose.
We love capitalism. We love that capitalism. Love that capitalism from Popeyes.
Oh, AutoZone.
Fucking love Popeyes, by the way. This episode is sponsored by Popeyes and AutoZone and Stanley.
And me.
Yeah. And us.
Okay. Let's talk about Grey's for real now.
Let's do it.
Just start with the deets. This is the 208th episode. It is the 12th episode of the 10th season. It is called Get Up, Stand Up. And that is a song.
Get Up, Stand Up is a song written by Bob Marley and his writing partner, Peter Tosh. And it originally appeared from the album Burnin', which was released September 14th, 1973. The stand-up, The singles from that album were Concrete Jungle, Get Up, Stand Up, and Trouble Dub. The album itself did pretty decent. And then the live recordings of this song did a little bit better than the actual, what's that called? The theatrical release, the original version, the studio version. That's what I'm trying to say.
The theatrical release.
Release the original cut of Star Wars. Do it. So the recording that had been live at the Roxy, which is a venue in West Hollywood, California, that was recorded May 26, 1976. Now that version of Get Up, Stand Up peaked at, number 33 in the Dutch top 40. And then, in 1986, when it was, doing all that, it was also peaked in New Zealand. So, but really quickly, the album Burnin', did decently well in the charts. It hit, number 151 in the US Billboard Top 200. So it did chart. But it's the exact song that you can think of. Get up, stand up for your rights, I think is the next line of that. Don't give up the fight, etc. Which Jackson does get up and stand up.
He does. When I saw the name of it, because obviously I knew what happened in this episode, and I saw the name of it, and I was like, oh, I see what you've done there. Mm-hmm, I see where we're going.
We love that. Hindsight. So yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give this one an objective score of 2.9 and a subjective score of 2.8.
Almost. Did you add it? Be rounded. Did you add it? You didn't add it.
I did not add it. No. You know, I don't know if it's still there, but that the Bob Marley store in Universal, like I would hear this, I'd hear that song all the time.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember there being a Bob Marley store, but I believe you. You worked there.
For like a second.
I know. And with little to no enthusiasm.
The least enthusiasm. Man, I was late every day. I was really pushing it. You know, that's the worst part about the point system is like, if I'm going to be late, I'm just going to be as late as the point system allows me to be late because I'm already late.
That's just never how my mind has worked. But that's okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Let's see. Where? Okay. The written by William Harper, directed by Tony Phelan, aired December 12th, 2013 to 8.36 million views. What's fun about this? What's fun about this one? It was the winter finale. So this aired December 12th of 2013 and the next episode aired February 27th of 2014.
Wow.
2.5 months we had to sit on that. Sit on that ending we had to. And that was it. And we said, oh, okay. How many cliffhangers can you write for us? This was not a cliffhanger. This is like a shit ton of cliffhangers.
Also, this is a bomb. This is a nuclear warhead.
Let me read the Netflix synopsis on this one because it did severely piss me off and I was so nervous you were going to see it. On her big day, April insists that Christina and Meredith stop arguing, but a disruption occurs anyway thanks to a big proclamation from Jackson. What the fuck else could it possibly be? If you're saying a disruption, like Jesus Christ, obviously seeing that, that could not be clearer. Oh, Jackson's going to interrupt the wedding. Like, what else would that possibly mean?
I want you to know that it's
Netflix
hard
pissed me off
to,
on that one.
It is hard to focus when I am going to select the start of the episode because they put the synopsis in the top left corner.
Yeah.
So
they
I
put
do
it
have
on
to
the screen. And if
it.
You like pause it sometimes, yeah, it's annoying.
Yep. So let's just do a quick recap. I'm gonna recap it in layman's terms. Yeah, April's wedding day. Shane is going off the rails, but we have resolution with Christina and Meredith, I think, a little bit. Yes.
I thought you were going to say with Shane, and I was like, I don't know what you watched, but no, we do not.
No, not resolution there. And also, President Barack Obama calls Derek H. Shepard. What's his name? No, it's not H. What is his name?
I don't know if we know, but I'll look it up. But
maybe it's Mark. Derek Mark Shepherd. What a wild time also to get a call back to Mark in this mm-hmm. episode.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Alex and Jimmy are having a time with their relationship. It's like there's a lot of things
rough
happening.
Episode for Alex.
This is crazy. I mean,
honestly,
this is crazy.
To Alex's Derek Christopher Shepherd.
Christopher.
I will say, like, I feel I know it sounds weird, but I want to say good Alex episode, even though he like was really aggressive. I feel like a borderline unprompted, he just like steps back and he's like, I'm going to work through my own bullshit, and then just does. And yep. then just like the conversation he has with Jimmy where he's like, you did your best. It is what it is. I'm a good person because you left and I did all of this. That's like, that is a resolution that sounds like it should have come from a lot of conversation, like a very healing conversation, which he did not show us if he had one.
Yeah.
So,
and also therapy, maybe a therapy yeah. journey that we should have seen.
Which I would love, you know, obviously yeah. everyone, you yeah. know, deserves therapy, but, you know, Alex, we are aware, has a very traumatic past in a lot of ways and has gone through a lot of loss. And so, but that was really interesting to me. Cause you know, he's basically attacking Jimmy, like the start of the episode. And then, oh, you know what? He's doing his best. And you know what? His best was shitty. And that's I can't do anything about that. It is what it is. And I'm going to let yeah. him know. And I have respect for it.
Yeah, that couple of scenes in general, actually. So let's talk about Jimmy and Alex first then, I guess. Mm-hmm. We see Alex and Alex and Jimmy are talking. And you think that there's going to be kind of like maybe a little bit of this healing journey, because I think I remember was it Joe that was saying something to the effect of, oh, Alex, Jimmy's telling all the nurses about how he's your dad. He's so proud of you. Alex mm-hmm. goes in, I think, with hat in hand to start. I think he goes in there with really trying to have a good conversation. They talk about the carnival mm-hmm. and he sits down, but then Jimmy just starts ragging on his mom, like really just being like, it's all her fault. It's all. And then Alex snaps. Right. So
yeah.
there's like a roller coaster in that one scene alone.
Well, yeah, he definitely like gives like Jimmy shit talks his mom like two times. And then I think on the third time he's like, stop. That's not the issue. Like if his mom hadn't been, you know, going through her own mental issues, I think what his point is that like he's like, even if she had not like been mentally ill, you still would have been an addict. So you can't sit here and just write it off like, oh, everything that went wrong was her fault, because it's not. And I think that's a good call out. Like, you know, you got to be like, if I'm going to sit here and have a good faith conversation with you about things, which Jimmy is not owed, Alex is doing that, you know, from a good place. Then it's like, you can't sit here and shit talk someone who Alex ended up staying and taking care of.
Yeah.
So he has way more emotional attachment to his mom than he does to Jimmy.
Yeah. It's when I think about broken or abusive homes of that kind of nature, like there is something to be said about the person who stays. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about the person who leaves. Whether or not that's the right choice, the wrong choice. Obviously, life doesn't exist in a vacuum. Life mm-hmm. is not a vacuum. A vacuum is a vacuum.
That's so true.
To put that on a bumper sticker. Life is not a vacuum. A vacuum is a vacuum. And whether or not Alex deserved to be the father at the age of whatever, 13, if that, mm-hmm. whatever we got to, is irrelevant. The mom was there, all of her faults and flaws. And there's trauma regardless. There's so much trauma yeah. in all of the aspects of this. There's no right, there's no wrong, there's just survival. And that's where Alex is coming from, and I really appreciate that. I love the writers on this show giving Alex someone who has as much trauma, if not more trauma, than him in different ways. It's just cool to see the healing that's happening. They're pushing each other mm-hmm. to heal, and that's yeah. cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It's a positive relationship, which you love to see.
Which Alex deserves, and Joe deserves too.
Mm-hmm. I do want to read specifically, because I did note this specific line. So when Alex and Jimmy are going back and forth about the fair, and he's shitting on her mom, or his mom, and then Jimmy says, oh, you don't know what a strain it is being with someone. He says, who do you think took care of her, kept track of her, got her committed so she wouldn't hurt herself? Who do you think took care of your kids? And he said, I did the best I could. And Alex says, well, if that's your best, you should just hang it up. Your best is worthless. I was the dad. I was a kid, but I was the dad. You were nothing. You were gone. You're worthless. And that's when Joe comes in and pulls him away. But the whole I was a dad thing, like, really hit me. Like, that was brutal. Because, you know, that's just not... And there are so many different types of situations, right, where older siblings do step up and take care of their kids. And that's, I mean, that's always incredible. But that's just not that's not how life, to speak overly simply and, like, to really just be, you know, ridiculously optimist and about it all, is like, that's just not how life's supposed to be. That's not saying it doesn't happen. And it's not saying there aren't kids who do that and, like, who do it really well and really incredibly and do it, you know, with a passion, and then, like, they're really connected to that sibling in such a special way. But, like, it's just not how it's meant to be. So when a kid does have to go through that, whatever the circumstances are leading up to it, it is going to create just, like, a different reality for that person than a lot of people who don't go through that have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not okay. And again, like, I think about my upbringing, and I try to, I'm not, like, that's the only experience I have to go off. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that the way that I've lived my life has been as crazy as they've written Alex and Joe's character. But, you know, I'll use this weekend as an example. Like, I was talking about, like, we've got this trampoline for Marlo downstairs in the basement, and we've got the tonal and the treadmill, like, things that we've worked for, things that we've, you know, paid off with our debt journey, etc. But Isaac's girlfriend, Rain, had come down here, and Marlo's, like, jumping on the trampoline, and she's like, oh, you guys got the mirror, you know, workout thing. You guys are rich. You guys got the trampoline down here. You guys are rich. And I'm like, listen, we're not rich. Okay. You don't know what life has. Like, we're not homeless. I don't want to be homeless again. And she's like, what do you mean again? And I was like, well, I mean, like, you know, I told her the story.
You know, like, when I was homeless before.
and she's like, well, do you still talk to your parents? And I was like, yeah, it's complicated. But, you know, and I think stuff like that puts it into perspective too, because Alex doesn't have a relationship with either of his parents. He's okay with that. And he's got, I know we're jumping to the end here, but that scene with Joe where he's like, we're the family. This is, like, this is what we need. We're together in this. Like, you know, there's a lot of emotions that this episode has, and it's very intense. But I share that to say, like, yeah, it's the reality for some people out there to be raising their siblings, and it's the reality to have shitty parents. And, the last thing I'll say on this particular topic is, it's taken me a long time with therapy to be okay with people who have good homes and not be resentful towards that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to work at those things. You have to work at projecting. You have to work at resentment and jealousy and being like you said, this is how things are supposed to happen, and, mm-hmm. and it's not for some people. And then you're like, well, why me? You know, there's a lot of feelings that these kind of things bring up.
Yeah, so, totally. And I think also, your perspective, I assume, I can't speak from experience on it, but your perspective in that manner would shift having kids, because you as a parent would just, like, would never, like, ever in your,
never,
I mean, I don't
ever
want to speak for you, but I'm also, I know I'm right. Like, you would never
do
anything, like, anything to hurt her physically, emotionally. You would never let her be homeless if that was something you had any ounce of control over. And so it just, like, it's another kind of just, like, shift, and it shifts your mindset back from, like, however you may have felt about it prior to having kids. And then you're, like, re-unpacking everything, because now there's a whole other layer, because you're like, well, I have this. So what the hell's wrong with you guys? You didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And again, like, I am grateful to get to witness your healing journey, because I you're putting in the work, and it's impressive.
Well,
and it's happy, you know, for you and those involved in your life.
It is happy.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways. so. But yeah. All that to say, like, I get where Alex is coming from, in mm-hmm. the erraticness of his feelings and emotions, and also, like, here's something we can't forget: Alex didn't ask for Jimmy to come back. Like, Jimmy just said, "Hi, I'm going through detox."
Yep. Jimmy is also in poor health while this is happening.
Yes.
And obviously, yes. Like, the patient parallel is this dad who the assumption is he works on a farm and his kid was working and his kid was driving the tractor. I'm thinking we're talking like a big ass tractor. One of those where like the wheel is as tall as me. And so the kid was on the tractor, fell off and got pulled under and was injured, obviously. And so the dad, in a panic, because the kid was okay, or was like, quote unquote, okay. He was moving, he was talking, and then he went unconscious, and the dad, in a moment of panic, put him in his car and drove him because he was further out and he didn't want to wait for the ambulance. I will say, as a parent, I'm like, I do kind of understand that, especially as someone who, like, in, like, I can't imagine my kid getting like a hurt at that level and then just sitting there and being like, hope it's okay. But at the same time, and again, this is a different time, like, we just have more information and we've seen shows like this where it puts these scenarios like in plain English and they're like, you have to wait, and this is literally why. So I do think like in that moment you can kind of hopefully remove yourself and be like, this is hard, but I'm going to wait. Also, to my understanding, 911 most of the time stays on the phone with you until whoever arrives, be it police, fire, EMS, whoever it may be that's going to arrive.
I also was unclear on that.
Because I don't think I've called 911 outside of Disney. I think maybe once I did because I was driving down the road and I saw like a transformer on fire. Just on like the side of I-4 in like a field.
Was it an Autobot or a Decepticon, do you think?
I think it was probably an Autobot, probably set on fire by a Decepticon. But yeah, other than that, I think I only ever called 911 at Disney, which is obviously like a more controlled environment.
Yeah.
But I also never called for like a true, like, this person is unconscious type emergency. I mostly called for like, hey, this person just passed out and now they're awake again. Or, hey, this person stuck their knee through a fence and it's stuck. So you need to now come out here and somehow deal with it because I cannot. So that those happened. Were the things I was, yes, at the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh,
don't stick your knees in fences, guys. It was an adult. It was not a child also. So that's
great.
Fine.
Makes it worse.
You know? Yes, it worse. For sure makes it worse. So, yeah, I just think, and again, this is just in portrayal of media, I guess is really all I'm going on, is that a lot of times the person on the dispatch stays on the call with you, especially if they're, like, having you administer, like, CPR or something like that, because they're like, let me walk, because they're, I believe, trained to be able to walk you through how to administer certain amounts of first aid. Obviously, they're not going to be like, let me walk you through cracking their chest. But they would, I would assume, stay on the line. That's because if when you call initially, they're conscious and then it changes to unconscious, that is just a completely different situation. Like, the EMS would need to know. And, you know, if they stop breathing, then the person on the line would, in theory, advise, like, should you do compression? Should you be doing, you know, what? How should you proceed as the person waiting for them? Anyways, all that to say is the dad brings him in. He's not doing anything bad, right? He is acting
as a dad
in a good, like, yeah, he is doing his best. And when he says that, or Alex says that to him. So Alex, you know, is mad because he's coming off the Jimmy thing. And he's like, I'm going to tell the dad it's his fault. Like, why, Alex? Because your dad was shitty.
And Arizona does a good job of being his voice of reason in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's like, why? Just why? And then, I mean, obviously the moment comes and it's like so different because when Alex is heated coming off the Jimmy situation and the dad's not even in the OR and he's like, we're going to tell him. And then when he sees the dad being like distraught, not leaving this kid's side and being like, I can't believe I've done this. He's like, this is not on you. And he tells you, because he's like, you can't blame yourself. You are doing your best. You are being a dad. And that's all you can do. And yeah. That's more than some people do. Clearly, that's where he's coming from.
I gotta say, I was a little bit concerned in the beginning when they like made the dad stay back. Like they let him in. The kid got on the table. I thought that they had like done the knee thing and the kid's knee moved. And I guess maybe I mistakenly saw that. But when they like made the dad go out behind the sliding doors, I thought they were gonna be like, "Yo, did you try to murder your kid? Like, what is happening here? Did you do this?" So I thought that was going to go a very different way of that storyline, but I'm glad it, you know, there's no resolution, but at least Alex uses that as a moment to be a human towards the dad.
Yes. And he offers a level of comfort. You know, obviously the dad's not going to be like, okay, cool, I'm not upset anymore. But like Alex is able to comfort him and being like, you are just taking care of him, you know, which is all that we can do.
Yeah.
So
are we led to believe that this kid is paralyzed from the neck down now?
It's kind of what I'm being led to believe. Don't have resolution.
Okay. We don't have resolution.
That's what I'll say. So when Alex goes back to talk to Jimmy, and there's the what I would consider more productive conversation. I do think it is a very specific choice to tell or to call Jimmy and not like dad or anything. And like, you also like, you could make the choice to not say dad or Jimmy, but he specifically chooses to say Jimmy. So, and that's, you know what? I just think it's to make sure Jimmy knows, like, you're not my dad. Like, you may have...
You're just a...
Your DNA might be involved, but you're just a guy. At this point, you're a guy. So he says... Jimmy starts to say, I'm sorry. And Alex says, you don't have to be sorry. It's like you said, you did your best and I turned out all right. And Jimmy says, thanks, I just want my family again. And Alex says, we're not family, all right? I turned out all right because you left. Aaron and Amber and Mom, they're okay now because you left. If you'd stayed, I'd probably be selling beer or something, or maybe I would have followed in your footsteps and OD'd by now. But you left us, thank God, so you can stop beating yourself up. Maybe you can fix it with your kid in Florida. Good luck with that. Bye, Jimmy. So, shakes his hand. And Jimmy's just kind of like, taken aback, was not expecting that.
Yeah, it was definitely a choice to have him say, or to ask, do you think you could fix it with the kid? Like, where'd you leave it with that family?
Yeah.
Because this one, you nuked. You nuked this one.
There ain't anything for you here, bud.
Also, it makes no sense that if you said that you could go back to that other family, why would you want to go back to Alex, saying you want Alex is like, this is your
family. I don't think it's an either or situation, and I also don't necessarily think it's a going back. Like, Alex is an adult and his siblings are adults, so it would look probably different to, I think he might just mean, I want to quote unquote fix this. But
I never will understand the leaving a family thing. When he says that he could go back, like, I get divorce. I understand it. I can wrap my head around people growing apart. I have a hard time as a parent looking at your kid and saying, no, not for me.
I don't need to see you every day, actually. I don't care to watch you exist.
Is that not crazy?
It is.
Am I oversimplifying it? Am I being insensitive?
I don't think you're being insensitive, and I don't think, I mean, I there probably is a quote unquote oversimplification of it, just because, again, there are other circumstances. But like, I I am with you of being like, I understand people split up and I understand that sucks. And like custody arrangements are really hard. And like, it has to be hard to know that truly in the big picture, a lot of times divorce is better for the kid because staying together and making them live in like a very toxic or unhealthy like relationship environment isn't good for anybody. So like, it's not doing that much. So obviously there's nuance to it in that way. But I think that just, yeah, being like, you know, when you hear stories of people just fully leaving and they're like, yeah, I don't know. We don't know where he is. There wasn't a divorce. They just left like in the night. Or they're just like, hey, I'll be back. And then they aren't.
Yeah.
That is beyond me.
With social media too. Like, I don't understand how people in this day and age could even disappear anyways.
Yeah.
Start a new life.
A lot of work.
I don't get it. Yeah. It would be easier to stay.
Yeah.
Anyways. Anything else with the Jimmy and the Alex and the... I mean, I guess the end scene with Joe, we didn't really talk about that. Yeah, just him
going to the wedding and being like, this is all we need. You know, we're going to be together forever. And if we have kids, it'll be so great. And we'll be a family and we'll be all we need. And she's like, yeah, totally. So, what were your thoughts on that? Just, it was a nice scene.
It is nice. I feel like so much has happened. Oh, like so much has happened, yet so little has happened with regard to Joe's existence on the show and the time that they've been together. That is a very different journey. They were friends, and then she was with that guy, and now they're together. And then a tree fell through the living room. A lot of things happened, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're talking about being together forever. Alex deserves some good, and that brings me joy. And when they talk about, like, they're one of the more healthy relationships in the show, I would say, you know, up until the final 5 minutes of, or final 2 minutes of this episode, I would say Derek and Meredith are too, so we'll see what happens there. So, I don't know, this show isn't great for relationships.
Ain't that the truth?
And, you know, it's not great for weddings either, you know, a lot of stuff can happen. So I'm just happy for Joe and Alex, and I like them together. I think they're my favorite relationship in the show right now. And I think them together, they're my two favorite characters in the show right now. Like, I really am enjoying them.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. I will say Ben and Bailey's wedding was mostly, it ended up being okay. You know, Bailey had to go and then Adele died. But then it was okay and it was lovely. Meredith and Derek gave their wedding to Alex and Izzy. Was lovely. Izzy ruined it. Well, she ruined the marriage. Sorry. The wedding was fine.
Yeah.
Izzy ruined the marriage. And then let's see who
Christina
else?
And Burke.
Christina and Burke, obvi. Cutting out of a wedding dress, leaving at the altar.
Yep.
Then we had Callie in Arizona at the same time as Meredith and Derek at the courthouse. Callie in Arizona's, Callie's mom was being the worst. And then the priest like got in an accident. And then Miranda ended up performing the ceremony. And it was lovely. A lovely day. And then, you know, ups and downs in that relationship. Ups and downs.
did what happened with Christina and Owen? Did they get married? Oh,
that was no. They got married in Derek and Meredith's living room. It was like the season premiere after the shooting. Christina wore a red dress.
That's right. Yeah. Not a lot of good love for weddings in this episode.
Yeah.
I guess we could talk about that next. Let's do it. Just a quick capitalism break. Quick break. Okay. Capitalism. Do the thing that you do. Please. Thank you, capitalism, and we're back.
Capitalism ruining lives because we, and ruining podcasts.
Yeah.
Doing our best.
Yeah, but we have to sustain the machine somehow.
We do have to do it to exist, unfortunately.
Yes, at least in America. Hello to all of our international listeners.
I hope you're having a better time than we are.
Yeah.
I have to imagine you are.
Hopefully we haven't bombed your country. And if it did, we
We were against it.
Let's talk about, we'll talk for like another like 30 minutes on this because I know we did like a tangential beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'll do the rest of the
episode. It's April's 15, wedding.
20 minutes. April's wedding.
It's April's wedding.
Do we want to talk about this? I feel like we need longer. Do you want to just, we'll just talk about this. This is crazy.
We'll talk about it. It's crazy.
April's wedding.
April shows up at the hospital in rollers. Meredith showed up at the hospital in rollers. Christina showed up at the hospital in rollers. I don't think Miranda was at the hospital.
How am I not remembering this?
I do think that she was in rollers, but I could be wrong. And then, yeah, I think that was everyone that we saw. Remember, because Christina showed up and said, Mama took my eyebrows and now I'm a Burke. And she was in rollers. Mm. And Meredith was in rollers when she gave her wedding daisy. So she's there. She's hunting for Christina and Meredith, who are still bickering. And she's like, none of you have come get your bridesmaid's dress fitted. So I brought the seamstress to you. Let me just say, as someone who works weddings, all of this occurring at the hospital was so fucking stressful for me. I was livid. I was like, I am furious. Like, I would be.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Like, I cannot express to you how insane wedding day timelines are for the bridal party. Obviously, there are exceptions. Like, I've had weddings recently where it was like a morning ceremony and then the reception was brunch. And that was super cool and fun. And I really loved it. That was a little less, obviously, that was just a more relaxed type of day. They didn't have a bridal party. Typically, the ones where there's no bridal party are the ones where it's like just a more relaxed schedule because you have to corral less people. If there's bridal party involved, if there is a venue of that caliber, those people, like Matthew also being there, I was like, I'm furious.
This is a common occurrence,
that was
I think,
little,
in
a
medical
sidebar
shows
of my opinion about it. Yeah. Anywho, so I did not love that. And so she's brought the seamstresses there to the hospital to tailor Meredith and Christina's dresses. Maybe Arizona is actually a good friend and took care of this on her own time. They don't show us that part. So I'm kind of assuming yeah. that Arizona maybe just like sucked less in this capacity, which would be very believable to me. Her and April are pretty close. So
steady man in a storm that Arizona.
And so, you know, obviously we have that scenario where they're then forced to be in a room together. So they hash that out, which we'll talk about separately. And then April also runs into Jackson and she asks if he's coming and he's like, do you want me to? And she says, of course. And he's like, okay, then I'll come.
Oh, he'll come.
At what point did you have a concern? Was it not
when
until he stood
fucking
up?
Stood up.
Yeah, I love that. I was so, like, I was really watching for it in this episode, and I was like, I genuinely hope that he doesn't catch on until Jackson tells Steph he's sorry. Because, like, up until that point, there's really not much else cluing you. I mean, now, if you go back and watch it with hindsight, I'm like, I see where they're building, but it's not like, you know, where you figured out George was before the reveal came, right? It's not like, oh, this thing is about to happen. It's like, oh, you're doing a horrible thing.
Yeah, it's, soapbox time. Do not,
don't
ruin a wedding.
Don't do it!
Because here's the thing, you'll see in the reaction video that is going to be done, which hopefully our dear friend Caitlin, shout out Caitlin, gets to do this reaction video. I actually thought April was going to have an Ross take the Rachel moment. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Okay.
I thought that it was going to be, do you April take Matthew? And she was going to say, I April take Jackson. Gasp. Oh no, what happened? This is crazy. That's what I thought was going to happen. And then I guess in hindsight, there's that lead up moment where Jackson said, oh yeah, one of the things that Mark Sloan used to say is if you love someone, shout it from a rooftop, just never shut up about it.
But that like ties in so well with the patient with Steph, right? So you're like, oh, okay. It just like, I mean, they really do write it in a way where when you watch it, knowing that he's going to do that, you can really be like, okay, all of these things building together, it does make sense, quote unquote, that he does this. Because let me tell you, it will never make sense to me for someone to stand up during a wedding and do this fucking shit.
Nope.
You can do it before and cancel it, or you can go through with the ceremony and then handle this privately. Don't sign the marriage license. Tell everyone to go home, give the gifts back. I don't give a shit.
Yep.
This is absolute absurd. This is like actually my nightmare.
Yep.
Like
And guess what? You made a living out of playing with this risk every single day.
I know.
And it is your job now to make sure this doesn't happen on your watch.
I know. It's literally
security.
I don't love it that people still like put the, now I will say Jackson doesn't, you know, do this in response to the, if anyone, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace. They don't have that. He doesn't do it in response. He just is interrupting. He's being rude on so many levels.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that in our wedding where they were like, does anyone have a reason for these people not to get married? I don't like it. I want it to stop being in people's weddings.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. If there's, let's say, for example, okay, oh, but what about if they're like a terrible person? Tell them months ago. Tell them at the proposal. Yeah. Tell them
if
anytime.
You're close enough where you thinking that person is a terrible person matters that much, then like you should have already done that.
Tell them. Yes. So, but the moment when the priest was like, as a sign of our support, we're all going to say, I will, when I say this word, and then he doesn't say it. And I was like, oh, damn, like he didn't say it. And Steph saw, that's awkward. That was it. And then he goes and he stands and then does nothing. And I was like, that's really awkward. How are you going to explain that to Steph? And then he doesn't do it. And then he does it. And I'm like, oh, what is, this is crazy. This is just nuts. This is nuts. So I was at a 20 out of 10, maybe a 2000 out of 10. I don't know.
Between 20 and 2000.
20 and 2000. So much happened in those last couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, my brain was on the floor. I didn't realize this was the winter finale.
Yeah.
8.63 million people. Not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah, and then I also went back and watched the promo because I wasn't sure if they spoiled it and like put in that he was going to do that, and they don't. So that's good.
Okay,
but they
that's
do
good.
Say
that's good.
Like the last 5 minutes will have your jaw on the floor or something like they say something like that, but they don't like they don't show anything. So I will say I was impressed with the promo because I really was like, I bet they promoed that he does this, which would be an insane thing to do.
What's crazy to think about too, in all of, and like the macro level scope of all of this, this is the last season that Shonda is involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just have to make it one more half season.
Yeah.
And then I would have gotten all of the original Grace.
Yeah.
I just need, we're so close with the spoilers.
We are. It's like 12 more episodes.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I have actually no fucking idea what's happening in the show right now.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of cliffhangers. This is not the only cliffhanger. There's Derek getting the call from the White House. There's Jackson and April. There's Jimmy. There's whatever the fuck is happening with Shane.
Whatever the fuck is happening with Shane.
There's Callie in Arizona, which like is kind of, it feels like it's on the mend, but Arizona is like having this huge breakdown to April. Also, let me just say this. I don't care for April. I don't like actively dislike her. I don't care for that character. I feel so bad for her. This is not what anyone's wedding day should be like. When people hire me and I have my first consultation meeting with them, I tell them, my job on your wedding day is to make sure the only thing that you are doing is getting married and having a good time. That is like my, that is the, like my mission statement. And I'm like, you have no idea how many people will come to you with questions or things that like, ultimately you're not going to want to deal with. And that's what I'm there to do. Also, the wedding planning process is so many detailed choices. You get decision fatigue. I'm like, couples who are planning weddings have spent 6 months to upwards of a year making choices and answering questions. The day of their wedding, they just shouldn't have to do that. And so that I'm always like, the only people who are going to talk to you on your wedding day are like, it's a low number of people I'm going to let talk to the couple before the ceremony. Like obviously at the reception, I'll let people talk to them. But I'm like, if they're not in your wedding party or like your immediate family, I will likely not let you talk to them. Like I just am like, no one should get to talk to you on your wedding day except for like your girls, your parents, the fam, quote unquote, the chosen fam. Like the select few. You know, that's what the vibe should be. And so I do really feel bad for April. And she has to like call these. She's like, everyone shut the fuck up and like make me feel pretty and doted on. And that's what it should be. You know,
I do love that scene. I hope you have the receipts for that. There's a lot of like, I mean, I guess we could talk about it next episode, because the scene where April interrupts the healing between Meredith and Christina,
so
they get just
funny.
Far enough. They get just far enough where we're like, oh, okay, so we're good. And then April's like, can you just suck on your own toes and
can
shut
you
your
make
mouth?
This about like, me, please?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And then Arizona, I think, catches a stray in that scene. It's like everyone's just like, make it about
well, because
me.
Arizona's,
like, let's go.
Yeah, just like talking, like
she
crying through
it.
Her adultery process.
And
April's like, okay, what if maybe on the day of my wedding, you stop talking about cheating on your spouse?
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, bridal parties, groomsmen, bridesmaids, friends, whatever your chosen verbiage for those people are, is those people, their sole job on your wedding day is to like hype you up and make you feel loved and excited and celebrated and supported. And if they are doing anything that's causing a bride's, I mean, I have had unfortunate conversations with bridal party. With groomsmen, a lot of it is like, you guys got to lock it in and put your flasks away because you have to be able to walk a straight line down this aisle. Like, honestly, I don't have a lot of issues with groomsmen beyond that, beyond just like being a little rowdier than necessary, which is frustrating. But I've also had, I'm not saying that that is not the norm. That is just like, if there is an issue, that is what it typically is.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And I have a lot of feeling. I could go on like hours of rants about this. Just like the way that things unfold and the way that places, venues are like designed kind of contribute to groomsmen getting into shenanigans, because a lot of times grooms are an afterthought and there's like not a place for them to congregate the way there is bridesmaids. And so then they're just like lingering about, and that's how they ended up getting into trouble. Anyways, the point being is I've had to kind of shut down some things with bridesmaids, be it, you know, kerfuffles between bridesmaids or like them not like
moms.
A lot of time it is always the mother of the groom. Justice for mothers of the bride, because it is always the moms of the grooms. And I have had, like, you know, a lot of times we try and structure it so that the couple gets to eat their dinner separate before they come into the reception so that they can enjoy that time together, because on your wedding day you get very limited time alone with the person you're marrying. So we try and kind of create that space if that's something they want. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they want to go in and do it in the party. But I'm like, you got to eat, and people aren't going to let you eat because they're going to be talking to you. So we'll do like a little like 15, 20 minutes built in where it's just the two of them. They sign the marriage license. They're on their own. They're enjoying those moments together. And I just like constantly have family and bridal party want to go in and interrupt that. I'm like, no. I will just block you from I will not let you go. I will go in there and get something because I'm like trained to basically be invisible on this day. But you go away.
Get out of my fucking face.
All that to say is they could have done a better job being bridesmaids. Even though it was last minute, they could have done a better job.
They
girls,
also
girls, get it together.
Got the April sisters gave Christina
so funny.
The death stare.
So funny.
Which is so funny to me. So
also,
let's talk
the guy
about,
who walked her down the aisle is her dad in real life.
Oh, wow.
I know. I thought that was you. It was sweet.
That is cute. Oh, I was like, oh man, I wonder what April's dad looks like. That's it. Yeah, cute. Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, so a couple things to call out. So we're talking about the wedding. All the stuff leading up. Number one, don't go to work on your wedding day. Just relax. Enjoy
Please,
it. Appreciate
the love
it.
Of God,
they both did it. I thought it was hilarious when they're like touching each other's hands behind the corner. And then all of a sudden Matthew's gone and April's just talking
She's
to herself.
She's like still talking. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, okay, we're led to believe that Arizona maybe was the better of the three friends in this scene because she wasn't getting stitched into her dress, but maybe it was just the vessel at which Christina and Meredith get to fight for an entire episode, which is great. We'll talk about that next episode, our next half of this. But yeah, it's like when you get to the actual wedding, man, can we get the receipts of what Jackson says here? Because it is, this is just... And the look on Matthew's face. Oh,
he's being
boy.
A little too chill, in my opinion.
Mm.
If I'm Matthew in this scenario, I don't let Jackson finish his statement. I interrupt him. I'm not saying with violence, but I interrupt him and I tell him to sit the hell down.
Yeah.
In my opinion. A lot of times, shows, movies, media is written and portrayed that interrupting wedding ceremonies like this is a, you know, grand gesture. How romantic. It's not.
It is not. It's uncomfortable.
I have hated it my whole life. This is not specific because this is the industry I am in. I have always hated it. I hated this the first time I saw it. I hate it today. I hate this shit. I will read it for you now. He says, well, first of all, he says to Steph, I'm sorry.
Which, yikes. Is this a callback to Derek and Addison?
I have the same thought. Stands up, sits down. She is mouth agape. She's putting it together. He then stands up again, steps center aisle, clean shot, says, I love you, April. I always have. I love everything about you. Even the things I don't like, I love, and I want you with me. I love you, and I think that you love me too. Do you? Cut to black.
Crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Also, you want to know what's crazy, the craziest thing about all that, in my opinion? The I think... You don't stand up. I'm gonna come in real close
this
to this microphone.
This is a good point.
You don't stand up in someone's wedding to proclaim your love for an I think. You stand
you
up
do,
for
yeah.
an I know that you and I are meant to be together forever. Like, this is crazy.
If you don't know without a singular doubt in your fucking mind that that person will absolutely be like, you are right, this is a sham, then you don't do this. Also, don't do this even if you do know.
Even if you do. Thank you.
I just like crazy. Hate these tropes. I hate it so much. I also like think that I hate this because like when Jackson and April were together, quote unquote, it wasn't even good. It just pisses me off.
Yeah, it's, and they've also, like.
Also, Steph almost tells him that she loves him earlier in this episode.
Yeah. Let's also not forget that Steph gave this motherfucker the out in Joe's bar, and he said, no, I would love to be with you.
And
this is what I
and
want.
And April gave Jackson the opportunity in the last season finale when she's like, when he's like, I'm getting married, and or he says you're getting
I
married,
forgot
and she's
about
like,
that.
I don't have
oh
to.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that, Kelsey. Fuck. Did Jackson just become Aaron Burr? Is he the villain in our story?
He's certainly not the hero. Listen, Jesse Williams, beautiful. Incredible actor. Jackson, incredible doctor. Jackson, horrible life choices. That's where I'm at right now as a summary.
Yep.
Because every time I say I hate someone, people are like, oh, but he's so attractive. Okay, irrelevant. I can hate a hot person. I'm good
at it. It's true. I've seen her do it.
I hate indiscriminately.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, it's
that's where we are.
It's crazy. I don't know how much more I have to say about this, but yeah. I need the world to know. Well, I mean, I have so many feelings. I have so many, and I don't even know what's going to happen next. Like, you're in the middle of the wedding. What, where do we go from here? I don't know. I don't know anything. I have no, my gut's not telling me one thing. If I were Matthew, I'd be running at him with a fist.
All of this that you're feeling right now, 2.5 months. 2.5 months of that until the next episode.
I might go watch the next episode tonight.
Fuck you.
No, I won't.
That's crazy. Just what we all have had to deal with.
I'm just so happy that I made it here without spoilers.
That's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish I was a fly on the wall watching me do this. I'm excited to go back and watch my own recording of this because this is pretty nutso. So
yeah, I'm glad I bullied you into that.
Yeah, you did. You did. But look at us now. Any other thoughts on the wedding piece?
I love April's dress.
Anything?
I think
she looked great.
Suits her perfectly. I think it really. There's some previous episode, I think with Jackson, when they had like the pregnancy scare, and she talks about, oh, I want to have like peppermints as the favor that say meant to be, and I want butterflies to fly when we kiss, and like these things that were mentioned offhand like seasons ago, and they come, that's what it is. Oh, also when Jackson opens that box and lets the butterfly fly away, and Steph goes, oh, congratulations, you just ruined Kepner's wedding. Little did she know.
I missed that. That's so funny. I also, that's a great call out with the flashback stuff. I did not realize.
The continuity is there sometimes.
Things.
It's kind of crazy.
That is good. Also, I had a moment, and I couldn't remember who the corporation of people who stand up for animal rights was. But where do you think PETA stands on boxed butterflies?
Not
against
good.
It, right?
I don't think that is realistic, because they all have to be in a box. Also, butterflies are not like a very energetic puppy where like the second you open a gate, it's going to like sprint out, right? If a butterfly's in a box, it's probably just going to be like, why am I in this box? Especially for an extended period of time. So you're going to maybe open the box and then probably nothing's going to happen. There is a performance. This is semi-niche. I'm sure there's a decent amount of overlap in this community. RuPaul's Drag Race. There is a season where the finale competition performance, Monet Exchange has like jewelry on her that opens and butterflies are meant to fly out. And like she opens it, some of them kind of are crawling around. Some of them are dead and they just fall out. So, you know, the reality of this vision, it is what it is. I have done lots of weddings where people like toss flower petals. Lovely. Do the bubble machines. Lovely. It's cute. There's lots of cute things to do. A butterfly is not going to be it.
Yeah. Just do what normal people do and
clap.
Don't do that. Clap.
So, yes.
Great call out on the throwback stuff. Didn't remember that. And also, I think I was so, I don't know what I was thinking, but when she said you ruined Kepner's wedding, I didn't even put that together. That's so funny.
Because it's also such an offhand comment.
We should also give some respect to Owen, because Owen was really like, you're going to her wedding, right? You're going to her wedding, right? Like, blah, 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 blah.
In regards to the wedding, good episode for Owen. I have some issues, which we'll discuss in the next half, about him with the whole thing with regarding Derek. But this is a good Owen episode. And like when he gets there to the wedding and goes to see April, and she's like, oh my God, you came. He's like, why? I would not miss this. Like half the hospital's
here. The whole
hospital's here.
And she's
like, really?
You're beloved.
And he's like, people like you, April. And she says, like,
nice
you know,
moment.
None of this would happen
nice.
If it weren't for you, which is true, because he brought her back. This is also the 100th episode that Jesse Williams is in as Jackson. So kind of a big,
wow.
They gave him a little monumental moment to celebrate, it seems. So.
Yeah, they said, congrats on making it to 100. You get to be the villain. You're the enemy of well,
I mean,
I don't know. I
so
think people
don't
I think
hate
there's
this.
A lot of.
There are a lot of people that are like, oh. That's why movies and shows keep doing it.
Yeah, I couldn't be me.
It's a
trope. If I'm in the minority on that, then I guess.
It is what it is. There's
also,
tropes I love and tropes I don't love. I don't love
yeah,
this one.
It's true. There was another thing I was going to say with the wedding. They're all there. Owen bullies them into being there.
Green screen, not great. Very 2013. Oh, yeah. It is what it is. The venue, they're in a venue. Like, they're in a barn. It's just the opening. And I've been in venues like this. They are stunning. But that's a green screen.
I just need to know, too, like, what was the back... I don't know enough about the I mixed multiple words here. The geography or the geographical build out of Seattle and its surrounding areas. That is there even a scene where that could be possible? Or are they
for
just
sure?
Like,
there's that giant mountain that's like kind of iconically associated with Seattle.
Vesuvius.
That's the one.
It's I think St. Helen, Mount St. Helen.
Maybe.
Or was that Washington, right?
I promise you guys. We had educations at one point. We just don't have any brain left.
Sokotoa. Mitochondria. Yeah.
Powerhouse of the cell, baby.
Pythagorean Anyways. Theorem.
Do you remember the Pythagorean theorem?
No.
Isn't it a squared plus b squared equals c squared? Or is that a different thing?
Maybe. Let's see. You might be right. I always, you know, I remember the transitive property.
Yeah. Mount Rainier. Sorry, Mount everyone Rainier. Can stop screaming at Thank us. You. We are that stupid, but it's not our fault. I am sleep deprived.
You're right on the a squared plus b squared equals c squared.
Yes. I do hate math.
Nice job. That's perfect. That's very nice. Pythagorean theorem is all about right angles. Love those fucking right angles.
Yep. Okay, well, I think
hypotenuse.
That's it on this one. There you go. Hypotenuse. Okay. I think we'll call it here for this part, and then we'll finish up on the other one after everyone's favorite segment.